You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 15 of Life of an Accounting Droid. So we got quite a bit of information to get through today. Bits of information and news and all of that here and there for the Android side of things. Pretty straightforward, nothing too special there. And then with the other tech news, a bit of random information, but most notably the Microsoft announcements going on, interesting Android or Amazon announcement, and a couple of other things here and there. So with that, I will jump right into it. So this week's theme is Incoterms. So in the accounting and business world, there's a lot of shipping going on, a lot of deals being made for getting goods from one place to another, and different or businesses may look at it differently. Countries may have their own rules and all of that. So Incoterms is a set of guidelines that were created to basically assist in bridging the gap between companies and countries as far as making the deal easier as far as shipping goes. Incoterms itself stands for International Commercial Terms. So basically, no matter what country you're in, this helps bridge that gap, whether you're in doing business within the country or with other countries or among different or with companies in other countries. So basically, Incoterms has a list of different terms to clearly communicate the costs and risks related to the transportation and delivery of products. It's usually denoted with a three-letter code to indicate how the goods are being shipped, so that helps to determine when that risk transfer. So basically you have a timeline of where the goods go, so when it leaves the seller's warehouse, when it gets to a port, when the shipper picks it up, when the shipping company picks it up, when the shipping company delivers it, let's say to another warehouse or to the company itself, which port it is delivered to, whether it's at the port within the first country, if it's at the port within a second company, and whether it's delivered to the second or to the buying company itself. So the terms help determine when that transfer of risk takes place. So sometimes as soon as the shipment is shipped, the buying company can take the risk or take responsibility for the goods then, or maybe at one of the due ports when they receive it, different warehouses, locations, all of that. So it all depends, and that's because there are many points along the shipping route where the risk and responsibility can take place. Incoterms are there to bridge that gap and clearly define what is being or when that risk is being transferred, so both companies have that clear agreement and there's no guesswork as to what it is. If there's any issues, then that can clearly be referred to as far as how to proceed with any claims or paperwork or how to proceed further. So that's kind of where I wanted to go with this week's episode. There's a lot of new things going on, so it's a matter of where you want to take responsibility, where that risk is being transferred, how soon things can transfer from one place to another. So that's kind of what this week's news and announcements reminded me of. So with that, I will jump right into the Android news and the other tech news for the week. So to start it off, if you own an Android TV, this week Showtime and HBO Now were released for it. So if you want to get those services on their own, that is now an option. YouTube Kids got an update to now support or to get Chromecast support. So if you have a Chromecast in your house or are thinking about buying one, then it is now easier to get YouTube Kids content to your TV. Shooty Skies was announced to get a Android version this week. It's the same, or it's made by the same people who developed Crossy Rose, and it's kind of a sequel to it, so look out for that. Motorola announced this week that many of their Moto 2014 and 2015 devices will be getting the Android 6 update, so definitely check out their website to get that full list. But essentially, it's probably a safe bet if you got one of their flagship devices in the last year to year and a half, you should be safe. For those of you who love checking out BuzzFeed, they've released two new apps this week. The first is the official BuzzFeed app, so you can get all of their lists and content via that app. But if you want more of the new style information from them, then check out BuzzFeed News. Both are now available in Google Play. For those of you who want a good photo editor, Lightroom was updated to version 1.3 this week. It adds a couple of new features, including full color control. So if you want to adjust the colors in your picture, that is now a lot more easy and a lot more granular as far as what is available. And they also added a cropping tool. So if you want to crop out certain bits of your picture, that is now available. Sorry. This week, James Bond World of Espionage was released as the first new James Bond video game for Android. It's basically a spy RPG, so as you build up your character, eventually build up your own team and upgrade their skills. So if this is up your alley or is something that interests you, it's definitely worth checking out. As far as I know, it's free to play with in-app purchases, so it doesn't cost you anything to try out and see where you can go with it. Twitter got a cool feature update this week called Moments, which lets you get news by category. So if you don't want to create lists or you want to have those filters automatically set up for you or see what's going on in the world and is being posted to Twitter, then check it out. Basically, you get categories like news, entertainment, comedy, and things like that. So it's definitely worth checking out. I had a minute to poke around and check it out. It does look pretty nifty, so we'll see if I use it a little bit more. But overall, it seems like it's worth it if you don't want to have to really set it up, but use Twitter. Google Domains got an update this week to now support Google Apps. So if you want to have the full suite of Google products, you can start adding that and have your custom email address set up that way as well. Cyanogen this week made note that they've started work on CyanogenMod 13. This is based on Android 6.0 Marshmallow, so look out for that coming soon. It should probably be about a month or two. Time frames may vary and there's no ETAs, but look out for that coming soon. So if you have a non-Nexus device and you want CyanogenMod, it should be coming soon. Google announced a new project this week called the Accelerated Mobile Pages Project. It's based on AMP HTML, so basically what it does is it streamlines website content with ads for quicker page loading. So if you've ever visited websites that are ad-heavy or take way too long to load because they're not optimized for the mobile web, then that's what this project aims to do. Google's made agreements with several companies and website owners to help get this project going. So hopefully that's implemented and it makes everyone happy and reduces the need for ad blockers. Overall, the idea seems pretty cool. I do know of a few websites that are not necessarily, or there are some that are ad heavy and some that just take way too long to load. And I basically quit loading the website and I move on to another source just because those web pages take way too long to load and I don't really want to wait around for, you know, a minute or 2 minutes for it to load just and have terrible navigation. So hopefully this takes off and we get some great results from it. Lego Scooby-Doo was released this week. It's titled Haunted Isle, so if you want a Scooby-Doo game, it's definitely worth checking out. The Google Maps team released a new app for India called the Delhi Public Transport, called Delhi Public Transport. Basically, what this does is, upon installation, it helps residents use and navigate public transport. So, you get train times and locations and all of that good stuff. I didn't see anything about fares, but you can basically get that kind of enhanced information on the go. So it's easier to plan your day and that sort of thing. This week, as I mentioned last week, Android 6 Marshmallow started rolling out for Nexus devices. In summary, basically what version 6 brings is Google Now on Tap, so you can get more relevant information by long pressing on the home button. So if you're looking up or if you're reading a news article and you press down on the home button, it'll bring you more information about whatever is being mentioned in that article. It has better and longer battery management with Doze, so when your screen is idle and off, like for example when you're sleeping, it'll shut down everything except for essential device resources and functions, so it has that much more performance at night. And you also have better app permissions, so you can set them app time of initial launch. So if you like an app, but you don't want certain permissions to be used, you can enable and disable them at will. And finally, there's fingerprint support. So if you have apps that allow for fingerprint security, you can now set that up as well. But that is all for the Android news. So with that, I'll jump into the other tech news for this week. So to start it off, for those of you who use Tweetbot or want an alternative Twitter client for your iPad, Tweetbot 4 was released. Basically, in addition to iPad support, it has better layout management and landscape support and things like that. But the key feature is its support for the iPad. CBS All Access TV was released for Windows 10 this week, so if you use All Access TV, then definitely check it out. ITV was released for the Amazon Fire TV this week. It's, I believe, a British television channel, so if you watch it, then that is now available. WhatsApp got an update this week to start rolling out backup to Google Drive, so if you want to have access outside or want to back up your copies of chats in WhatsApp to a third-party place, then Google Drive may be for you. I haven't seen a rollout to me, so as far as I know, it's a staggered rollout, but definitely worth checking out. The Weather Channel this week updated itself to now have support for Windows 10 and Windows 10 Mobile, so look out for that if you prefer the Weather Channel for your weather needs. If you've ever wanted offline support or listening for YouTube and SoundCloud audio, then check out Pego. That's P-E-G-G-O. As far as I can know, it's available for most platforms, including iOS, Android, Amazon, Amazon Fire, and Windows 10, I believe. But definitely check out their website. All the supported platforms are there. I tried a couple of websites on SoundCloud or a couple of bits of audio, so I believe it relies on public videos and all that, but it definitely seems like a cool idea, especially if you have limited data plan. This week, Photoshop Fix was released for iOS, basically to allow you to do quick image touch-ups and restoring on the go. Roku announced the version 4 of the Roku box this week. It comes with a quad-core processor, 4K streaming support, a remote finder, so if you ever lose it, you have that. Remote control with voice search and a headphones jack, so you can look up content with your voice, as well as have private viewing or private listening if you want to watch something but not disturb anybody else. And also HBO Now was released for it, so if you are considering buying it or have an HBO Now subscription, then it may be worth checking out. This week, Amazon launched the Handmade Marketplace as what's being considered a competitor to Etsy. Basically, if you make your own goods and you buy or basically handcraft any products, you can now sell them on Amazon. It's a pretty cool idea. I don't make stuff myself, but if it's anything like their Kindle Direct Publishing, you have control over your pricing, what kind of commission structure you want, and sell your own products through Amazon and get paid for selling it. Medium this week, the site that started as a brand new blogging service, got a big overhaul to now have Twitter-like mentions using the at symbol, so you can tag people in your posts, as well as new writing and design tools. It also has support for third-party posting, so if you use sites like WordPress, you can use them, as well as connecting a custom domain, so you can have a custom website associated with it. The iOS and Android apps were also overhauled to support all of these new features, so you can easily post in your web browser or on the go. Facebook got an update this week to now allow doodling on your photos that you upload. So before you post it, when you upload a picture, you can add your own text and markups and things like that. So if you want to make your own jokes or add your own text to it, you can now do that. As far as all of the Windows announcement this week, to start it off, the Display Dock was released for Windows 10 Mobile. So basically, you can turn your phone or tablet that runs Windows 10 Mobile into a desktop PC. It basically adds a HDMI support and USB support, so you can add a monitor, keyboard, mouse, and use your device as if it was a laptop or desktop. The Microsoft Lumia 950 was also announced this week. It comes with a 5.2-inch screen, 3 gigs of RAM, is liquid-cooled, which seems pretty cool, runs Windows 10, comes in with an octa-core or hexa-core processor, has a 20 megapixel rear camera with triple LED flash, a 5 megapixel front camera, and USB Type-C charging. So overall, pretty high-end device. Some people were saying that it is basically, there's nothing special about it, but it does seem like it is on par with other high-end smartphones in the market. So it depends on what other software comes with it, but overall it seems like a pretty cool device. I might actually go to the store and check it out, see how well it performs, and actually check out the Windows 10 store to see what apps it offers. In other Microsoft news, though, Windows 10 Mobile is getting a bunch of universal apps, including Facebook, Facebook Messenger, Instagram, the Weather Channel, and Audible. So they're basically getting more native support. The Surface Pro 4 was also announced this week. It comes with a 12.3-inch screen, a 6th-generation Intel processor, supports up to 1 terabyte of storage, supports up to 16 gigs of RAM, and has a fingerprint scanner. So if you're thinking about buying one, it's definitely worth checking out. And finally, Overcast version 2.0 was released this week and has now gone free to use. So if you're looking for a good podcast client for iOS, then check it out. It now also adds episode streaming support for chapters, initial support for 3D touch with more functionality coming soon, and more storage management options, so definitely worth checking out. It does seem like it's on par or maybe even better. So basically it's arguably better or worse than Pocket Cast. So if you're considering a podcast client, Overcast and Pocket Cast are the way to go. But if you have podcasts that have chapters, then Overcast definitely has a leg up. And of course, in other side news, if you listen to Relay.fm podcast, it's basically a network of a variety of shows, including Material, a brand new Google podcast, or Google and Android podcast, iOS podcast, all in one and all that. They released their app this week, so if you want to get new episode notifications and listen to their apps specifically on the go, and you're on iOS, and it's definitely worth checking out. But that is all for that. So after the short break, I'll jump into the entertainment news, what I watched, the app review, film review, and the Star Wars profile. Life of an Accounting Droid is brought to you by you, because you can now help and support the show in 3 awesome and excellent ways. The first is by simply visiting patreon.com/patelN01 and check out some of the great milestone goals and rewards you get by simply donating as much as you're able, be it $1, $5, $20, whatever you feel comfortable with, to help the show expand in ways like adding more posts to the feed, an Android app, and removing ads, that sort of thing. So definitely check it out. That's patreon.com/patelN01. You can also get some great deals and discounts by visiting geek-io.net/support. You can get discounts on Tweaked Audio headphones, so you get some great audio while you listen to podcasts, movies, music, whatever have you. Or even by getting a discount on great security software provided by ProXPN. So definitely check that out. It's definitely worth your while, especially if you're on the geeky, nerdy side of things. Especially if you want to show that fandom and geekiness by wearing a t-shirt provided by T-Fury. So that's geek-io.net/support. Now, finally, let's say you love this show, you want to hear more and listen to more shows like it, you can visit patreon.com/geekio. Or visit geek-io.net and check out more shows like this, and help support the network, help it expand and grow, help us host, do more, and provide you with more and continued great content. That's patreon.com/geekio. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show. And welcome back to the episode, everybody. So with that, the entertainment and second half of the show is actually a pretty packed segment, just because I had a chance to watch a lot of different things went on during the week as far as news as well. So with that, I'll jump right into it. To start it off with some of the news, Black Sails Season 3's trailer and various posters were released this week, so definitely check them out. I'll have a link in the show notes so you can get a link to the trailer, and all the posters are on the website as well. The show returns at the moment in January of 2016, so we're still a couple of months away, but definitely a good show to watch, and you have a few months to catch up on the first two seasons. Basically, it's a pirate show around the time of Blackbeard, maybe, but around the time of Long John Silver. As far as I remember, it's a prequel to Treasure Island, so that's kind of your timeline, time frame, and the stories and dramas and all of that good stuff. Amazon made a deal this week to have, they have an exclusive deal with CBS this week through 2018 to air selected shows within a few days of release. So as far as I can tell, that actually explains why shows like Extend showed up approximately 4 or 5 days after their initial air date. So if you like CBS shows and have Amazon Instant Video, then definitely check it out or look out for that. Just in case you have Prime and you want to watch those shows while streaming or use Instant Video to get catch up on various CBS shows. Virgin Atlantic and NBC or Netflix may have a deal now that, they'll offer free Wi-Fi for Netflix subscribers. So it basically sort of solves that problem as far as being able to watch Netflix shows on a plane. So if you fly Virgin America, then you can watch Netflix for free. CBS made another announcement this week that they will be renewing or rebooting the MacGyver series coming soon. It will basically be a prequel of sorts, so MacGyver in his 20s, how he came to start working for the organization he worked for in the show that we know, and all of that good stuff. So we'll see if it's actually any good or how good it plays out, but look out for that coming soon. And finally, Star Wars Rebels Season 2 returns on October 14th, so I'll have a link to the trailer video, but it is coming up in the next few days, depending on when you hear this episode, but just a heads up for that. As far as what I watched this week, other than what the film review is going to be for this week, I watched the season finale for Fear the Walking Dead, so Season 1, Episode 6, The Good Man. Overall, the show ended pretty strong as far as the last two episodes go. I liked Episode 5, I believe it was the one titled Cobalt, but whatever the second to last episode was, I liked that one the most out of all of them. The season finale ranks probably a close second, so definitely worth watching the six episodes. Not too much to watch it, especially when they're about 42-43 minutes apiece. But it definitely picks up a lot by the end, and as far as I know, it's renewed for a second season. So definitely worth a watch. I haven't had a chance to watch the web series yet. I think it's Flight 429 or 729 or something like that. But it's on my list of things to watch, so I kind of want to see that kind of what that's going on there. As far as I know, they're releasing at 1 minute at a time, and it's going to continue into the season 6 of The Walking Dead, so look out for that as well. Otherwise, I watched season 2, episode 3 of Gotham, The Last Laugh. We focus more on Jerome and his story, and kind of what his reign of terror, or basically his reign of terror has expanded a little bit, and as far as all indications show that they're setting him up to be the Joker, so we'll see what goes on there. Same thing with us, Selina Kyle as a Catwoman, so we're basically heading in that direction. And I forgot what I just said, but Jerome is the Joker, not the Riddler, so just to clarify that. And we do have Edward Nygma already working for the police department, so his storyline, I don't remember season one entirely, but probably, or I'm sure they're going to set up his storyline eventually to become the Riddler as well. So, I also had a chance to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 3, episode 2, Purpose in the Machine. So this one focused more on the obelisk and getting Gemma back. So it was actually a pretty interesting storyline. I guess it's more of a stepping stone for what is going to happen going forward, but we basically is a continuation of the storyline. So they use an Asgardian who's been hiding out on Earth to figure out where they can find out how to use the obelisk and use his power to get Gemma. They are able to get her back, and this kind of the workings of what's going on Earth and some of the hidden stories that are still lurking around over time. I actually had a chance to also catch up on Firefly episodes 9, Ariel, and episode 10, War Stories. So this these two kind of focus a lot more on Jane, so I actually kind of like the progression going on there. So overall, pretty good episodes. Nothing too, I don't want to say it's spectacular, but pretty good storyline progressions as far as Summer Glau's character goes. So all in all, for me, it's turning out to be a pretty good season. And finally, we have Heroes Reborn, Season 1, Episode 4, The Needs of the Many. Since this is a show, episode is coming out close to the release date, I'm not going to say too much there, but I'm actually liking the progression. We'll see. To me, it's still, it's all on the lines of Minority Report for me, because it's falling in the shape of its predecessor, so we'll see exactly how it goes, but maybe it'll be a rewatch for me to see if it's any, if I like it any more or less. But overall, I think they're doing a pretty good job, and it's worth continuing to watch me. Hopefully they'll have more seasons than the 13-part miniseries, but that's probably also more wishful thinking. So with that, I will jump into this week's app review. It's actually an Android-only app, and it's actually technically more of a live wallpaper than an app itself, but one that's worth checking out. But the app is called Meter. It's an app that's released by Google Experiments, or sorry, Android Experiments. So when you go to the Android Experiments website, you can get more information. But essentially what this does is it's a live wallpaper to show you battery level, internet connection status and levels, and any pending notifications. So once you set it as your wallpaper, you'll get a nice material design look and feel of your wallpaper. So as you change screens, enable or disable your screen, it'll change automatically. The battery level is basically a standard circle with a bubble that overlays on top of it that it decreases in size as the battery is used. And then if you move your, or I'll get to that in a little bit, but you also have the internet connection. So if you're connected to Wi-Fi, it'll show you your Wi-Fi connection name. If you're on your mobile data connection, sorry, if you're on your mobile data connection, it'll show you your carrier and connection and all of that, and then the signal strength of that connection. It doesn't differentiate between the Wi-Fi signal and your regular connection or your mobile data connection, so that might be a little odd there, but in any case, it shows you your signal strength. And then finally, you get a notification view, which increase or adjust based on the number of your notifications. So if you have one notification, you just get a box. If you get two, it starts to create a gradient based on that. So if you have two, you still get a box, but it's split in half with the top box slightly different color than the bottom one. And as it increases, you get a slightly offset color based on that, and you get a nice bar that changes based on whether you have 1, 2, 3, 10, 15, 20, however many notifications you have. So that's actually my favorite part of it. It's actually a pretty cool notification, or the pretty cool part of the live wallpaper. The one thing to remember there is that you do need to enable the notification access in settings. So if you go into settings and then security and then notification access, you'll see Meter. So if you click on it, that's how you'll get it. I was wondering why it wasn't working for me initially, and that is actually the solution that at least it worked for me. The other cool thing about the live wallpaper is that the internal part of the shapes move based on your moving your hand or your device based on the gyroscope and accelerometer. So if you have the bubble on the battery level, rotating your phone will move that bubble around the circle. If you're on the Wi-Fi screen, it'll look like a water in a cup, using just flat triangular shapes to move it accordingly. I didn't see too much for what happened with the notifications. It didn't do much for me, so I'm not sure what happens there, but I'm sure there's something based on your device movement. So that's also pretty cool. And it's all material designed up, so it will definitely look well with Android 5 and 6. On older devices, at least it provides a nice, clean, live wallpaper. So I'm going to actually plan to keep following up to see if they include other things like weather or things like that. It would be pretty cool to have some sort of weather or weather part aspect to the live wallpaper as far as a meter or wallpaper part of it goes as well. So I'll have a quick walkthrough in the link to the screencast in the show notes, so you can kind of get a visual idea of what it looks like. And then you can find the link to install it via the Android Experiments page or directly in Google Play. It's called Meter, M-E-T-E-R, by Android Experiments. So, and it's free, so definitely worth a try. So with that, I'll jump into this week's film review, which is actually going to be the Back to the Future trilogy. So last week, I learned that as of October 1st, that the Back to the Future trilogy would be part of Amazon Instant Video as part of the October promotion for the October 21st time travel that they did. So I ended up being able to watch all three movies, so I figured I'd do a review on it. So, Back to the Future 1, released on July 3rd, 1985, it's approximately 116 minutes long. It has a 96% critics rating and 94% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Back to the Future 2, released on November 22nd, 1989, and it's at 108 minutes. It has a 61% critics rating and 85% audience rating. And finally, Part 3, released on May 25th, 1990, and it's at 119 minutes long. It has a 73% critics rating and 78% audience rating. So overall, the movie did pretty well. The audience definitely loved it. Critics didn't really like the second part too much, but they did like the second part. For me, or I'll get to the review in a little bit, I did like all three, but it does require a little bit of extension as far as all the time travel that they end up doing between the second and third parts. So a summary of the trilogy is that the franchise follows the adventures of a high school student, Marty McFly, and an eccentric scientist, Dr. Emmett L. Brown, as they use a DeLorean time machine to travel or to time travel to different periods in the history of Hill Valley, California. The movies were produced by Robert Zemeckis, so he does have other films to his name, but this is probably the one that's known by me. In this case, I'm only going to include Michael J. Fox as Marty McFly and Christopher Lloyd as Dr. Emmett Brown, as they're definitely the main constants throughout the series. Everyone else changed here and there based on the time travel being done. So with that, I will jump into the review. Overall, the series is pretty good, but I can actually kind of see why the second one wasn't as good as the other two, but I actually also thought that it was a more aggressive of the three movies as far as the time travel goes. It probably could have been handled a little bit better if... I guess as far as the time travel goes, the order that they went makes the most sense, but probably if they did the... Old West one as part two and then the future as part three, that probably would have landed a little bit better. But as far as the second part goes, my only real issue with it was that it actually is the one that holds up the least, because they are going to the future and trying to make future predictions. So the Jaws 19 3D holographic thing seems kind of ridiculous at this point, because now we're in 2015, you don't have that. We have a pseudo hoverboard, sort of, made by Lexus, which is actually pretty cool, but we still don't have things like the self-drying shoes or the self-drying jacket or anything like that. We don't have flying cars. Though we're slowly getting to the automated cars, so that kind of is an offset there. But of all the things, it's basically the one that's least forward-looking. The part that actually does stand out for me the most is the televisions in the 80s cafe, which is still a 4x3 rear projection tube TV, which I guess is part of a retro's 80s thing, makes sense. But overall, the whole thing, just the environment seems weirdly futuristic. So I mean, even if you're making it now, it seems cheesy, but I guess it makes sense in general. But overall, that's the whole part of being aggressive, because they are going from 1985 to 2015, and then having to go back in time and adjust, and then back to 1955. So that's, for me, I guess in the end it makes sense, but the future just wasn't forward thinking enough, I guess, or maybe it was too forward thinking to the point where they did predict all the smoothness and curves and all that, but it still had an 80s feel to it. But otherwise, as far as reviews goes, first of all, I thought that there's nothing like an 80s term like that's heavy to travel through time. So Marty does continue, or Michael J. Fox does continuously use that's heavy to explain his aspiration towards something that doesn't make sense or something that's super serious. And saying that now is kind of just one of those sayings that seems oddly out of place. I mean, he is traveling through time, so he is at a place. So on one hand, it works well. On the other hand, just hearing it now you can tell is definitely something from the 80s. So I guess the Back to the Future movies are that movies in time. So when they were released, it makes perfect sense taking them or reviewing them in current standards. They seem kind of odd. Otherwise, in the future, if one yells in an alleyway and people are there to hear it, no one will bat an eye. So that's the one thing that kind of bugged me. So when they go, when Marty and the Doc go to the future and they're arguing in the alleyway about what to do with the time machine and the almanac, and Jennifer and her going back to her home, they're basically, they're not necessarily arguing, but they're trying to figure out what's going on. There's kind of, not necessarily yelling, but talking loudly and exclaiming and saying things and not really controlling themselves. So I found it weird that nobody heard what they're saying except for Biff, who happened to see them beforehand and knew what's going on. But there's no, like, it didn't seem like they were in an environment. They seemed like they were in a movie on a stage recording this, and there's no reaction from anybody. I mean, there's no cops walking by, or no one's really looking at them or coming by to see what's going on. So that kind of bugged me about that scene, that they can yell that much and no one's going to overhear them. And the fact that if they're trying to not impact history that much, shouldn't they be as quiet and sneaky as possible and not yell? Or at least hide out and then have their argument where nobody, or there's more guarantee where nobody will hear them. Next up, though, with 1.21 gigawatts of power, it's surprising that no power lines actually got hit or no sensors picked up the electric anomalies. So I figure if they're using, like, for example, in the first movie, plutonium to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of power, or even with Mr. Energy or Mr. Clean, whatever the second one was called, or even in the Old West, they're not going to have the sensors or technology to see that. But I'm surprised in all of the time travel that they did that nothing went wrong, that everything, I mean, the only thing that didn't work was the mess-ups that they caused themselves, but I'm surprised that nothing else went wrong, like when they're going down the street in the first movie to go back to the future, that no other power lines were hit or nothing was else was affected, nobody else saw anything. In the second movie, when they're flying, that nobody sees them take off or flying through the air except for Biff, which seemed kind of weird since they took off in a neighborhood. So I don't know, to me it just seemed kind of very, very convenient that all of this happened and nothing went wrong. I'm not really doubting that it worked perfectly, but or that the time machine worked fine, but I'm surprised that there were no side effects other than what anyone in the immediate vicinity. And finally, my only real issue with the third movie was, how does no one see or hear a steam-powered flying train? So I guess when you're at train tracks, nobody's there, but to me, there were, the thing that bothered me was that there were people at the railroad crossing, and suddenly they all disappear when the train or the Doc's new time travel train comes into the tracks, and no one's there to even see that or realize it. And then on top of that, we realize that it's a flying train. So how does no one see a flying train that's steam powered, that's, well, he's honking his horn and the whole nine yards, and no one really sees it? So it seemed really awfully perfect for nobody to hear it. So I guess sound doesn't travel anywhere in the Back to the Future universe. So that kind of actually bothered me quite a bit. So I guess my issue really isn't the movies, what they're doing, but it's the fact that there's no further repercussions. It's only whatever's happening in an immediate area that's of concern. So I guess that's kind of why I like it, but it's kind of weird watching them now that it seems like there's no consequences, no further consequences to their actions except for when they're trying to fix anything. So that's really all there is for that. So if you haven't had a chance to rewatch them or watch them for the first time, or you want to show them to your kids or nephews or nieces or anyone who hasn't seen them, they're still available for streaming on Amazon Prime Instant Video. So if you do have Amazon Prime, you can get them for free or rent them if you don't. But for me, I did enjoy watching them overall. I did like getting through them again. I wasn't bored at all. I enjoyed everything that I remembered, I still enjoyed again. So the Doc's expressions and I don't want to say overacting, but his overreactions to things. Marty's that's heavy and trying to figure out what's going on in the time frame he's in and avoiding his other selves and all of that good stuff. So definitely worth watching again. So I do still recommend them. I still enjoyed them, but I guess watch them in the vein of the 80s and 1990 rather than the 2000s. So with that, I will jump into this week's Star Wars review. So The closest thing that I could think of in relation to Incoterms as far as shipping and then time travel with Back to the Future and just getting around for and how it related to Star Wars was or is the hyperspace. So this is a key bit of technology that in the Star Wars universe is used by starships to achieve faster than light travel. It's generally considered in the universe, Star Wars universe, as a travel or on a couple of different planes. It's considered travel through a parallel universe or an extra dimension of space or an alternate mode of existence. Current scientists and engineers don't really know where the plane of existence is when this time travel is being done, but all they know is that it exists and that it allows for faster than light travel. Basically, hyperdrives were created to break the tachyonic barrier and travel above the light and energy threshold. So, faster than light travel is made possible by tachyonic or by going over the tachyonic barrier, which is just above the normal state of energy and time. This method of travel was originally developed by the Rakata to support their galaxy-wide empire or the Infinite Empire, and so basically they needed to be able to travel across their empire as quickly as possible, so they developed the hyperspace travels. The technology eventually got re-engineered by the Corellians and the Duros. It was re-engineered because they were unable to figure out how it worked to begin with, but they were able to understand the technology and create what the present universe knows as hyperspace drives. And they were able to match that technology, so they are able to use it. Using the hyperdrive hyperdrives, though, they were able to create hyperspace lanes so that there are known safe methods of travel between planets. Generally, things like unstable stars and black holes and things like that are generally avoided because they're hard to navigate. It's hard for the navicomputer to plot a course. And it usually requires a pilot of heightened skill, so a really, really, really good pilot, so maybe someone like a Han Solo, but generally anyone who could use a Force was considered someone who could navigate the complexities of a hyperspace lane if it was that complex. The issues with it, traveling through hyperspace, is that it requires precise calculations to navigate around black holes and other bodies that interrupt a normal route. So if you are passing by a black hole, you do have to give yourself enough room so that you don't get sucked in by its energy. Same thing with other stars and planets that might be in the way. You do have to adjust accordingly, even if you are on a different plane of existence. Improper calculations, though, or outdated information can cause a lot of problems. So if you have an old map and there's now a planet in the way or a planet exploded and there's a lot of debris, then it can cause the ship to exit out of hyperspace and cause a lot of damage, usually resulting in engine shutdown and extensive damage to the ship. And generally, no one will come looking because it's on a lane that no one's traveling, or they know that they shouldn't be going that route anyways. It is also possible for a collision to occur in hyperspace. This kind of collision, if it occurs, has the potential to destroy planets because of the amount of energy that's required to come back into the normal plane of existence, which is why it does require precise calculations. That's why Han Solo got mad at Luke Skywalker in Episode 4 that it's not like dusting crops in a farm. They have to break free of the gravity pull of the whatever planet they're leaving. They have to have the calculations to make sure they're not going to hit anything. So that while it is a very efficient and useful means of traveling among planets, it does have its dangers, so it does require precise travel. But because the galaxy, for example, the Empire or the Republic use the official hyperspace lanes, pirates and smugglers had the tendency to think creatively about getting around particular non-approved lanes, so they could travel undetected or survive in areas where they know they're not going to be found. So it does have their ups and downs, but as far as safe travel, there are safe and approved routes that are continuously updated, so that way ships can safely get to and from their various destinations. But that is all for that. So, and we are now at the end of this week's episode. So if you want to email me, you can reach me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at Patel N01. And of course, you can get all links and all that good stuff for the show at PatelN01.com. And of course, if you want to find this show or any new show on the Geek.io network, be sure to visit geek-io.net. And as a special promotion that I'm running through the end of the year, this is a good time to donate to good causes and things like that. I am running a special Easter egg promotion. So if you visit the site, there is a link on the site that will help you support the show normally. But from this episode, so basically episode 15 for week ending October, I believe, for October week ending October 9th through the end of the year, so December 31st, 2015. For those of you who find that link and make up that purchase, the commission that I normally earn and would put towards a show will be donated at the end of the year to basically any charity or goodwill place that I choose. If there's a particular place that you guys prefer, you can always email me and let me know once you find it. And you make the purchase, then basically if there's someplace else you want me to send it, then just send me a receipt so I know how much to allocate and which charity you want me to give it to, and we're good to go there. Because it may not be, or I want to give one bit of hint as far as that goes, I will give you the, basically this particular Easter egg relates to the number 1299. When you see it, it'll make more sense. But basically, in the end, any purchases will be made through the end of the year, the commissions that I earn off of it will not go into the show. For this, in this particular time period, it will go to a charity of your choosing. So that's all there is for that. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you have all my contact information. And of course, everything is on PatelN01.com or geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.